morning, church. So I think there's still a scare about NCOV. Some of you even told me that they are just watching the FB live. Okay lang naman yan. Now, with regards to our church building, perhaps you're wondering what's happening. If you are connected in my Facebook account, you can see what's happening. So just continue to pray, and hopefully by April 12, we can start worshiping in our own building. Can we give God a round of applause for that? That is our prayer. Although, even though that's just the half of the worship hall, and we're praying, perhaps in celebration of our seventh year, then we can use, by July, we can use the whole of our worship hall. But on April 12, just the half of our worship hall. At least we can now transfer there. So continue to pray as we are having progress in this building. Praise God for that. Now, beloved, let me just allow me to be transparent with you as to how God is working in my life. First, remember why we are here. Our main thing. What's our main thing? Our main thing is to multiply authentic disciples of Jesus. The building is not the end. Okay? Maybe you're wondering, what's next, Pastor, once the building is up? That's not the end. That's just the means. Our main thing here is to multiply authentic disciples of Jesus. That's the focus. And when we say authentic, we're not saying perfect. Authentic means being transparent, meaning nothing to prove, nothing to hide, nothing to lose. So allow me to share to you as your pastor what God is doing in my life this past week. And I pray that you will also practice authenticity, being vulnerable to one another, because that's why we are here. We are here not to judge, but we are here to walk alongside each other. We are here to help one another to be restored on the right path that God prepared for us to walk. Last week, I shared to you my disappointment in life because I was not given U.S. visa. Now, from disappointment, it somehow became my brokenness. Let me tell you why. Because as I was meditating on our passage, Joshua 6, 7, and 8, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this situation? At first, I was okay, like what I told you last week, that I was not granted by U.S. visa until last Thursday, just somehow one week ago. Just after a week, I learned that a pastor actually applied. So I applied last week, and then last Thursday, a pastor applied for U.S. visa to attend a conference. And lo and behold, he was approved. He was approved. So I'm happy for him. Okay, don't get me wrong with that. I'm really happy for him, but God just exposed my heart. Because when I learned that he was approved, I tried to, really ask, Lord, what happened? I begin to compare. Lord, somehow we have a house. Aside from, of course, my family and the church, definitely I will come back in the Philippines. When it comes to resources, we have our own house. We have a car that's under my name. And besides, GCF New Valley has a building. So what's the reason for me not to come back? So there I realized, as I was reflecting on that, I begin to look at my resources more than dependence on the Lord. So when that happened, I begin to realize what's really in my heart, that there's pride in me. Because when I learned that someone got approved, a fellow pastor, I'm happy for him, and yet here I am. Lord, I'm comparing. I begin to compare my resources against him. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong, Lord? Then the Lord somehow just revealed what is wrong in me. What's the sin in me is pride. Because I look at my accomplishments, I am no longer dependent upon the Lord. So that's the reason why I got disapproved. So somehow a discipline from the Lord, because he exposed what's really in my heart. Because if it did not happen, I will not know that I have pride that is lingering in my heart. So I was broken. I wrote it in my journal, and I am sharing this to you, what I wrote in my journal. I was broken before the Lord. I was broken, and yet at the same time, I am happy. Like what I learned during the GCF Pastors Retreat, brokenness is personal. It's personal. Brokenness is painful. Yes, the process is painful, but it is precious. It is personal, it is painful, it is also precious. Because I felt the rebuke of the Lord, but not only the rebuke, yet I felt His love. Remember, discipline is not for us to run away from the Lord, but discipline, God is using discipline for us to come back to Him. I know that God can turn my brokenness into something that is beautiful. It's painful, the process is painful, but at the same time, it is precious. So it's a beautiful brokenness. Look at this picture. This picture is a vase made from a broken clay. Broken vase. A beautiful vase made from a broken vase. Kita nyo ba yun? Nakita nyo ba kung paano niya ginawa yun? Huh? So what about you, my dear brothers and sisters, my friend? Do you experience brokenness in your life? Remember, last week we talked about sin. So, one of the 7 A's of confession, the first one, is to attain a broken spirit. Do you mourn? Do you repent of your sins? Do you take God seriously? Do you treat sin seriously? Or do you treat it lightly? Or perhaps not because of sin, but because of situation that is way beyond your control. That is why you are experiencing brokenness right now. Let me share to you what Pastor Arnel Tan told us during the retreat. He said, a God-blessed life is tested by brokenness. A God-blessed life is tested by brokenness. So my encouragement to you, my dear brothers and sisters, if you are going through brokenness right now, keep on trusting God. Trust the process. Even though it's painful, trust the process. Why? Because God is the God of restoration. He can restore you. Just like how the Lord restored Joshua and the Israelites. Remember from chapter 7, now in chapter 8, we will see that He will restore them. And God is still in the business of restoration. He can restore you. If you will repent, if you will come back to Him, definitely He can restore you. Beloved, God can turn your brokenness into something beautiful. Today we will see this truth that God restores His people in Joshua chapter 8. So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. We will study the whole passage. Joshua chapter 8 verses 1 to 35. So just open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. For our scripture reading, let's read Joshua chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Let us read together Joshua chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it. May God be praised for the reading of His word. Father, we are here this morning. And I ask, Lord, would you please meet us where we are right now? I don't know, Lord God, the specifics of our life, especially for my brothers and sisters. Maybe just like me, they are also experiencing brokenness because of sin or because of situation in their lives. Lord, I pray that may they be encouraged through your word, that you can restore our life, that you can heal our soul. Help us, Lord God, to see that truth, to see who you are, Lord, that you are our restorer, because you can restore our brokenness and you can turn it into something beautiful. May we continue to give you praise. May our life continue to give you praise, to continue to worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us take a look again at what we discussed so far to see the context of our passage. Remember, in Joshua chapter 6, we saw that God is faithful. He is faithful in fulfilling His promises. So therefore, when we obey Him, there's a reward. That's why we learn that obedience is our responsibility. It's your responsibility, and leave the result to God. And from obedience, in Joshua chapter 7, we saw disobedience. We saw how serious God is when it comes to sin. So He is faithful, at the same time, He is also righteous. Because He is righteous, therefore, He cannot see sin lightly. Therefore, the same is true for us. Remember, you and your sin must separate, or you and your God will never be intimate. That's the reason why we must separate from our sin, because He is our righteous God. He can discipline us. Church, remember, there's always a consequence for our action. So we must separate from our sins, and or we will never be intimate with the Lord. Joshua 6, obedience. Joshua 7, disobedience. God is faithful. God is righteous. Now in chapter 8, we will see that God restores. He is our restorer. From disobedience, we will see how the Lord will restore His people. After they repented of their sin, which caused the life of Achan and his children, God restored them. So God is faithful, God is righteous, God is restorer. His discipline is for restoration. This is how loving God is. His discipline is not for us to move away from Him, but He uses His discipline to move us closer to Him. Like what I told you a while ago, it's a beautiful brokenness. That's why we experience that when we are being disciplined by the Lord. There is brokenness. God will break you, but in the end, He can build something that is beautiful. Remember that Joshua, not only that he was disappointed with what happened in chapter 7, remember, they attacked Ai, but they lost the battle. So he was disappointed, but I believe he was not only disappointed, but he was also broken before the Lord. Look at chapter 7, verse 6, before we go to chapter 8. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening," meaning before the presence of God. Not only Joshua, he and the elders, the leaders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. This is a picture of lament. They were lamenting. Okay? Putting dust on their heads is a picture of someone who is deeply in sorrow. They were sorrowful. So Joshua was broken when they lost the battle in Ai, and after knowing all the things that was happening, especially sin. But after repentance, look at how God assured Joshua. Therefore, when we talk about restoration, listen carefully to Him. Listen to what God will say to you as you are going through that brokenness. Listen to Him through His Word. Let's look at Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 onwards. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear, do not be dismayed.'" Actually, Joshua heard this many times. He heard this from Moses at Kadesh Barnea. Remember, he was one of the 12 spies back then. And then after that, as Moses was giving him or transferring the baton of leadership, he heard again this about the divine presence of God being with him. By the way, when I say divine, I'm not talking about Mommy Divine. I know all of you, I think you know the story, diba? Because she's all over the news. That's one headline. Even so, in one headline, it says there, "Divine Intervention." But I'm not talking about Mommy Divine here. I'm talking about God. Okay, when I say divine presence. And Joshua heard this many times after Moses passed on the baton of leadership to him. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord says, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed." And again, in Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed." This is a very timely assurance coming from the Lord, because again, Joshua was broken at this point in time, and the words of the Lord lift up his spirit. This was the signal he knew that God was restoring them again. So not only Joshua heard an assurance from God, but he received instruction. This time he received an instruction on how they will win the battle against Ai. In verse 2, take all the fighting men with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only, but this time, here's the provision. Jericho, destroy all things. But this time, it says, only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush. Here's the plan of God. Lay an ambush against the city behind it. Now, with regards to Jericho, he said, destroy everything. But with Ai, you can take the livestock as plunder. And I like the commentary made by the Bible Knowledge commentary about this. It says here, look at that. What an irony. If only, remember chapter 7, if only Achan had suppressed his greedy and selfish desires and obeyed God's word at Jericho, he would later have had all his heart desired and God's blessing too. Hindi siya mamamatay. Kasi pumayag eh. Hindi niya naman alam. So the path of obedience and faith is always best. Can we read that together, the last sentence, the red one? And 1, 2, 3, go. The path of obedience and faith is always best. It's always best. And then you can read the succeeding verses wherein Joshua relayed the plan to the people of Israel and they executed the plan of God. Now, what does it mean for us today? In the restoration process, the key is to listen carefully to God. We must hear and heed His instructions through His word. We must be sensitive. As we are going through times of brokenness, we must be sensitive as to what God is teaching us in this season of brokenness. In the context of our passage, twice Joshua heard God. Verse 1 and then verse 18. So the key in the restoration process is to hear God through His word. You must confirm it through His word. So when we are experiencing brokenness, either because of sin or situation, it's good to humble ourselves before Him and listen to what He is saying to us through His word. In my own experience this week, I heard God, not audibly, I do not hear God audibly, but as I meditate on His word. Remember, I'm meditating on Joshua, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. When I look at my circumstance regarding the denial of my passport, now I knew why, because of that pride in me. It's like what I shared to you. So there's sin of pride. And good thing, Joshua did not finish in chapter 7. There's chapter 8. That's the good news. There is restoration. God is dealing me with my sin. So at the time, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what is really happening to me? What is happening to my soul? A while ago, we sang, "It is well with my soul." But let me ask you, how is your soul today? If we will be transparent before the Lord, remember, we cannot hide from the Lord. How is your soul today? Is your soul really okay? Because when we ask people, "How are you, Sister Georgine?" "Okay lang, Pastor." Yan ang sagot natin eh. But is your soul really okay with God? Is your soul, can you really say, "It is well with my soul"? Is your soul really well? When someone got that promotion that you have been waiting for all this time, and your coworker got it and you did not, is it well with your soul? When you did not ace your exam for the students here, you did not ace the exam, is it well with your soul? When someone got ahead of you in life, remember, that's the danger of social media. When you get to see your high school friends, high school classmates, college classmates, do you now see them posting this new house, new car, vacations here and there that you cannot afford? Can you honestly say, "It is well with my soul"? Is it really well with your soul? when something is happening in your family that is way beyond your control? Is it well with your soul? Church, you do not need to hide. You just need to come forward before the Lord. Because let me tell you this, you can rest in His faithfulness. God is faithful. And He is the God of restoration. He can restore your broken soul. He can restore your broken soul. As I am reading a Christian article, I came across with this interview, the interview of Justin Bieber. How many of you know Justin Bieber? Naku, mahalata ang edad natin, di ba? At isa ko, kilala ko pa yan. Di ba? For the millennials, Gen Z, kilala yan. But for the boomers, Xers, di ko alam kung kilala yan. Okay? He's a singer. Okay? And now he professes faith in Christ. Let me just read to you his one of his interview, especially with Apple Music, I read this from churchleaders.com. Let me read to you the article, how their conversation went. Before he came to a truer understanding of who Jesus is, Justin Bieber said he was on a clear path to self-destruction. If he hadn't deepened in his faith, he said, I don't know if I'd be alive for sure because it was dark. My life was really, really dark. So he was caught up in a lifestyle where he would drink, he would do drugs, sleep around. And part of what led him to remain in that lifestyle, listen to this, was the hypocrisy he saw in the Christians around him. He said, I'd had really bad examples of Christians in my life who would say one thing and do another. He said, so they were my direct example of who Jesus was. Now, the turning point for Justin Bieber was when he just looked at the character of Jesus, meaning he stopped looking at people around him who profess they are Christians, but now he just looked at the character of Jesus. He said, I really took a deep dive in my faith. And he came to see clearly that following Jesus is actually turning away from sin. At the same time, the singer said he knows that the right motivation for obedience is recognizing just how much God loves us. God is not judgmental, he said, but accepts us for who we are. He loves us through our pain. He loves us through our dirt. Because Jesus wasn't this religious elite guy. He was in the dirt and he found me in my dirt and he pulled me out of the dirt. Now, just as hypocritical Christians had a harmful impact on Bieber's faith, faithful Christians have deeply encouraged him. He said, I'm very, very grateful to have influences in my life that have played a huge part in me seeing their relationship with Jesus, their relationship with their wives, their relationship with their kids. Seeing these positive examples in others has helped Bieber to pursue God and pursue healthy relationship in his own life. So his renewed faith in God was a significant part of why Justin Bieber chose to pursue marriage. He said, the way I look at my relationship with God and with Jesus is I'm not trying to earn, and here's the good news. That's really the good news. He got the good news. I'm not trying to earn God's love by doing good things, because that's true. We cannot earn. God's love cannot be earned. You cannot earn the love of God. God has already loved me for who I am because I ever before I ever did anything to earn and deserve it. It's a free gift. The forgiveness is the thing that we look at and we go, I'm going to worship you, God, because you gave me something so good. God can turn your brokenness into something beautiful. So therefore, if you are in the dirt right now, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Be rooted in His Word. Listen to Him. Part of the process of restoration is listening to God through His Word. Listen to the lesson that He was trying to convey to you. I understand that God works through our circumstances. But be sure to confirm it through His Word. Discern His voice and confirm it through His Word. So as you are running to Jesus, trust the process. Because God is always, always at work, especially during the darkest hour of our life. Listen, church, let me repeat that. God is always at work in us, especially during the darkest hour of our life. If you cannot see His hands working, trust His heart. Because He is always, always at work. God can turn your brokenness into something beautiful. Now look at the continuation of the narrative, how the Lord turned their defeat into victory. Verse 18, God said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for," here's the real reason why they won over Ai. God said, "For I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. And the men in the ambush rose quickly out of their place. And as soon as he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. They headed to set the city on fire. So this was the strategy that was given by the Lord. And you can read the story. They set an ambush. There were actually two teams. The first team, they acted as a decoy. Meaning, remember in Joshua chapter 7, they fled, they ran away from Ai. So they are acting out this time. That is as if they were defeated. So they ran away, and the people of Ai, or the men of war of Ai, followed them. Without them knowing, there's a second team that set an ambush, and they went to the city and they burned the city. So it was too late for the men of Ai. When they turned around, they saw their city burning. So it was too late for them, because one, now the first team attacked them, and then the second team attacked them. So they were caught by surprise. But actually, that's the plan of God. Verse 26, but Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until the total destruction, until he had devoted all the inhabitants of Ai to destruction. Remember, I told you, even in Joshua chapter 6, this is the judgment of God for the Canaanites. For 430 years, they did not repent. God was waiting for them. That's the mercy of God. 430 years, and yet they did not repent. Prostitution, sexual perversion, child sacrifice. They were doing this for 430 years. So it's a judgment of God. And in verse 25, it says the total number of men and women that were killed were about 12,000. That number during that time, in ancient times, that number tells you that Ai was a great city, a large city during their time. Verse 27, only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as their plunder, according to the word of the Lord that he commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it forever a heap of ruins, as it is to this day. And he hung the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city, raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. So because of the defeat of Ai, the rest of the cities are now vulnerable against the Israelites. So meaning they can now easily attack all the Canaanites' land, the promised land. Okay? Actually, it was Yahweh who gave them this land. So what can we learn from this story? God is the God who restores. Remember in chapter 7, they disobeyed. They failed the first time. But this time around, in chapter 8, they won against Ai. There's discipline, but there is also restoration. Just like how the Lord turned their defeat into victory, church, He can turn our brokenness into something that is beautiful. There's a story in the New Testament that tells us exactly how God can restore a person, people. Even if he messed it up big time. Maybe you're here and thinking, "Lord, I messed it up big time. There's no more forgiveness for me." But here's a person who messed it big time in the New Testament. We're no longer talking about the Old Testament. Here in the New Testament. And his name is Peter. Remember, Peter denied the Lord Jesus not once, but three times. Come to think of it, who is Peter? Who was Peter? He was with Jesus all the time. After the calling of Peter, he was with him all the time. He saw all the miracles. If you will put yourself to Peter, he saw all the miracles. You saw all the miracles. Jesus even healed his mother-in-law. So it's very personal because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. He was there when Jesus resurrected a young girl from the dead. Peter was there during the transfiguration. He saw everything. He even declared who Jesus was. Remember when the Lord was asking them, "Who do you say I am?" It was Peter who declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he knew who Jesus was, that he is not only man, he is also God. He knew all of these things. He knew the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet during the suffering of the Messiah, Jesus denied the Lord. He denied that he knew him. Take note, Peter was one of the 12, the original 12 apostles. But the story of Peter did not end there. Because in John chapter 21, look at how the Lord restored Peter. If you have your Bibles with you, please open it in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, starting with verse 15. Look at how Jesus restored Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" Take note, it's plural, this. Perhaps it pertains to the fish that they caught. Because earlier, they were fishing and they caught large fish. So perhaps it pertains to his profession. "Do you love me more than your profession, Peter?" Or it could mean that this, the pronoun this, refers to the disciples. "Do you love me more than these men, Peter?" Or it could pertain to all the things that he saw, the miracles. "Peter, do you really love me more than all the miracles that you have seen? Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And here's the restoration. Look at what Jesus said to him. He's now giving him again responsibility. "Feed my lambs." Remember, three times, right? So three times. The second time, Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." And then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know everything. I cannot hide from you. You know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus restored Peter. He still gave him the responsibility to feed his sheep. And we know the story of Peter. Look at the book of Acts. The Lord still used him. Broken person turned to something beautiful. He used him mightily. Beloved, God can turn your brokenness into something that is beautiful. Therefore, recommit your love to Jesus. If you are experiencing brokenness right now, run to him. Recommit your love to him. Because he can turn your brokenness into something that is beautiful. I want to affirm, I want to declare this morning that God is faithful. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. If you think that you are in a mess right now, let me tell you, he already loved you even before you put your faith in him. He already loved you even before you obey him. There is nothing that you can do to earn his love because his love for you will not be lessened nor increased because God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He already loved us. We love because he first loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. So if you are here and you think there is no more forgiveness for you, let me tell you, God loved you so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sin, not only for your sin, but also for mine. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The only way for you to be forgiven is through faith in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus and on his finished work. He alone, Jesus alone, can restore you into a right relationship with God. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Receive Christ as your Savior, because there is no other name, no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved, but only the name of Jesus. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Believe in Jesus. Now, for those who already profess, for those of us who already professed our faith in Christ, perhaps you have been running away from God for quite some time now. Or maybe you stumbled, you committed sin. Maybe you are here right now, you are just sitting there just to please your family members, just to please your friend who invited you. But you are thinking that God will no longer forgive you. There is no more restoration for you. Let me tell you, Jesus is the God of restoration. Nothing, I say it again, nothing is impossible with Jesus. He can turn your mess into a message. He can turn your life around. He can turn your brokenness into something that is beautiful. So my brothers and sisters, if you are here right now, you are thinking that God cannot use you anymore. You are thinking that you will just simply go with the flow. You think that God is already done with you. Let me tell you, Jesus will never, ever, ever give up on you. He will restore you. He will restore you. The question is, will you recommit your life to Jesus? Will you run to his loving arms? Do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of restoration. Yes, there is a season of brokenness, but there is also a season of restoration. Now, after the Israelites won the battle, Joshua reminded them again. Joshua reminded them again of their allegiance. They must put their allegiance with Yahweh. Look at the last verses of Joshua chapter 8. Verse 30, it says, at that time, Joshua built an altar. Look at what they did. Instead of celebrating their victory, look at what they did. Look at what Joshua did. He built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. They offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. So after the victory, Joshua led the people into a spiritual pilgrimage. Instead of them securing the land, what they did was they recognized who Yahweh is. They built an altar. Because at the end of the day, victory belongs to the Lord. They knew, they recognized that all of these things, it's God. It's done under the mighty power of God. And there in the presence of the people of Israel, Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. They go back to the word of God, which he had written. All Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders, officers, and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests,
who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward, look at this, look at what Joshua did. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing, the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, women, little ones, and sojourners who lived among them. So after victory, after restoration, Joshua reminded them to align their allegiance to Yahweh. And the same is true for us today. Part of the restoration process is to recognize the Lordship of Christ in our life. Being a believer in Christ, we must now surrender our life to Him. Surrender your life to Him. If you want to be restored in a right fellowship with God, if you want to be intimate with Jesus, then you must realign your allegiance to Jesus. There will be no restoration if you do not align your life to Christ. We must surrender to Jesus. We must give our whole, not half, not part, but our whole allegiance to Jesus. And to give our whole allegiance, meaning we must go back to His words. We must be rooted in His word. We must know His ways, His will, and we must walk in His ways and His will. That is what it means to align our allegiance to Jesus. Church, you can experience restoration, and you can experience it right now. If you will run to Jesus, you will recommit your life to Him, and you will realign your allegiance to Jesus. God can turn your brokenness into something that is beautiful. So we have seen so far that God is faithful, God is righteous, God is our restorer. Israel committed sin, therefore they failed the first time they attacked Ai. But in chapter 8, after they repent, God restored them. He gave them victory. The same is true for us. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still in the business of restoration. Just as how Jesus restored Peter, He can restore you and me. Just like how the Lord revealed pride in my heart and gave me that chance to repent, to go back to Him, I believe He is also giving you that opportunity right now to go back to Him. God can turn your brokenness into something beautiful. Therefore, run to Jesus. Recommit your life to Jesus. Realign your allegiance to Jesus. Today is a communion Sunday, so it's good for us to reflect. This is an opportunity for us to repent of our sins. It's time for our restoration. So let us remember the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's align our allegiance with Him right now. As we partake of communion, let us ask for forgiveness.
Away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
I see nothing but the blood of Jesus for my cleansing. This I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us raise the cup and say, "The blood of Jesus washes away my sins."
Let me call on our ushers for our giving.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for how you are providing for our needs. Now, Lord God, it's time for us to worship you through our giving. Help us, Lord God, to realize, Lord God, that even our giving, this is part of our worship. And at the end of the day, Lord God, everything that we have is yours. We are just merely your managers, stewards, Lord God, of your resources. It's not even our resources, it's yours. So Father, help us to give cheerfully in
as we give, Lord God, may this be an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so again, announcement for those of you who signed up for the Bible study method. Next Sunday, we will start. So please be here at 9:30. We will start exactly at 9:30. So for those of you who signed up at the Bible study method, so we will study on how to read and study the Bible. So please be here exactly 9:30 a.m. So again, please do pray on April 12. That would be it. That should be our promised land. We will now, this time around, noong una natalo yata, hindi natupad eh, June. Okay? So hopefully by April 12. So let's all stand for the benediction. May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
For a closing song, this is gonna be interesting, but we're gonna change it to "It Is Well." In the response, we see that Jesus Christ asked Peter, diba? Parang yung pinaka-core niya, "How's your soul?" Diba? So, bilang closing, let's sing this song again, "It Is Well."
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
whatever my lot,
whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Let's sing, it is well.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul. And it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well, oh, it is well,
it is well, it is with my soul, with my soul.
It is well,
it is well, it is with my soul.
Amen. So thank you all for worshiping with us. Just praise the Lord.
Wala na rin. Thank you.